mercy and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our consideration this evening is the Lord's Prayer, which has already been read. One time, there was a pothole in front of the mini-mart in Sherrard. And the people who owned the mini-mart in Sherrard did not like having that pothole in front of their business establishment. So they drew up a petition and invited their customers to sign this petition. You know about petitions. This petition, asked the county to fill in that pothole in front of the mini-mart in Sherrard. When they had so many signatures, that petition was sent off to Aledo, and then it was presented to the people who were responsible for and who had the authority to fill potholes. Not just anybody can run around filling in potholes. They would know when they got that petition that a certain number of citizens wanted them to fill in their potholes. That particular pothole. And what does the county do with that petition or request? Well, yes, no, maybe so. About prayer. I think that sometimes people think that God talks to us in prayer. And I think that because when I ask people how God talks to us, sometimes they will say that God talks to us in prayer. God talks to us in word and sacrament. When we pray, it is us talking to Him. And when we add music to those prayers, we're singing to Him, singing prayers to Him. Hymns are usually, you might note, addressed to God. Martin Luther talks about praying in the Large Catechism. He asks two basic questions about prayer. Why should we pray and how should we pray? Why should we pray? In the Large Catechism, Luther asks that question and then answers by giving two reasons why we should pray. First, we ought to pray because God has commanded us to pray, told us to pray. And secondly, we ought to pray because God has attached a promise to that prayer. And that promise is that He will listen to our prayer and that He will answer it, Luther says. In the second place, we should all the more be urged and encouraged to pray because God has promised that our prayer will surely be answered. And how does God answer our prayers? Yes. No. Maybe so. That's why we should pray. And how should we pray? In his Large Catechism, Luther also asks that question and answers that we should pray for our needs. Of course, pray for our needs. That's how we should pray. What is it that you need? For this, ask God. We should pray with the attitude of request. Like a petition, we call these things petitions in the Lord's Prayer. Like the customers of the Sherrard Mini Mart, we should ask for what we need and ask with an attitude of respect, our request. And in either case, the one who has the responsibility and the authority to do what we need, whether it's filling in the pothole or something that's important, can answer yes, no, maybe so. And in the prayer that Jesus Himself taught us to pray, that prayer that you know by heart, the one that has escaped the modernized language even in the newest hymnal, the one that we say every time we get together here, He teaches us to ask God for the things that we need, knowing that His answer to our requests or petitions will be yes, no, maybe so. As you know, the Lord's Prayer actually begins with an introduction. And in this introduction, Jesus teaches us to address God as our Father who dwells in heaven. Children, you know that you can ask your Father, especially if it's a good Father, for just about anything. He might not give it to you, but it can't hurt to ask. One time, when I got my driver's license, I may have told you about this. I wanted to get the 1970 Mustang with the 351 engine, and my father said no to my request and yes to the Pinto instead. Now, generally, my dad was right about such matters, but not this time because we now know that the Pinto had that exploding gas tank And the Mustang didn't. My gas tank never exploded. I did not get killed. My dad usually was right about those things, but in that case, maybe not so much. Our Heavenly Father is always right in such matters. We may, of course, with all boldness and confidence, ask Him like children do, and we might expect Him to answer with the answer that is always right every single time, whether that's yes, no, or maybe so. In the first petition, the first request, we say, "Hallowed be thy name." What does this mean? Here Luther begins by stating the obvious that God's name is certainly holy or hallowed. That's what hallowed means, holy in and of itself. And he will continue that, stating the obvious pattern for several of the following petitions. Indeed, God is holy. God is hallowed. He's without sin and incapable of sin because that's what he is. Luther says, "But we pray in this petition that his name may be holy among us also." And that's not what we always are. That's not who we always are. His name is holy, but we do not always keep his name holy among us, as we see by looking at the answer to the next question, how is this done? How is God's name made hallowed among us? First, Luther says, when the word is proclaimed in its truth and purity. And that's the task of pastors and teachers, to proclaim God's word rightly in its truth and purity. And he says, when the hearers listen to that word, believe it, and live according to it, then God's name is holy among us also. And how is this not done, Luther asks, when we don't do those things? When the word is proclaimed falsely or in a tainted manner, the work of false preachers and teachers, those preachers and teachers profane the name of God among us. And secondly, it is impossible for the hearer to believe and live according to the truth if that person is taught falsehood. They're the ones Jesus was talking about when he talked about those who were like sheep without a shepherd. The second petition, thy kingdom come, what does this mean? Again, Luther says, the kingdom of God will come in some place. The Christian church will always be here. Jesus promised that, whether we ask for it or not. But we pray in this petition that it would come here among us. A couple, 3 weeks ago, I was teaching confirmation class, and we looked at this article, and I asked the students, if you had this power, if you could choose to make certain people Christians, which people would you choose to make Christians? And they said, my friends, my family, my neighbors. Yeah. And that's what we're praying for here, that God's kingdom will come among us also. This is the petition most dear to the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, in almost every single congregation of this millennium, that we want the pews to be filled up like they used to be filled up, and we want to know how we can make that happen. And Luther tells us how to make that happen. How does the kingdom come? Luther answers, through word and sacrament. The means, and the only means, by which the life-giving, life-sustaining Holy Spirit comes to man, makes him alive, and sustains that life. And we note here that Luther does not talk about numbers. And we further note that word and sacrament, not numbers, are the marks of the church, how you recognize the church of God. And we finally note that as far as the numbers go, the kingdom seems to be coming in greater numbers in places like Southeast Asia and Africa than it is in America. And what do you do about that? Continue to proclaim word and sacrament and pray that God's kingdom would come among us also. The third petition, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does this mean? God's will is always good and perfect, because that's who he is. And God will do what God will do. And as we want his kingdom to come specifically among us, we want his good and perfect will to be done among us. And how is this done? When he fights against the one who is against him, the one who wants us when God fights against the devil, the world, and the flesh. The devil, that fallen and active angel. The world, the everybody else is doing it mentality. And the flesh, the I sort of like what everybody else is doing myself, actually. When he fights against that, and he wins. When he fights against the devil, the world, and the flesh, and he wins. When he breaks and hinders every evil purpose and plan of that unholy Trinity. When he keeps us out of the hand of Satan, who wants us for eternity, and keeps us in his hands, and we spend eternity in heaven with him, that's his will. The fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. God does give our daily bread. And in fact, you may have noticed that he gives daily bread to all people. And what we ask for here, and Jesus says that the Father knows what we need before we ask for it. What we hear asking him is that we know and understand and believe it to be true that he gives us our daily bread. And that's not easy as it might seem. The natural man, especially as he is found in the American rendition, thinks that if he works hard, plays it smart, then he'll have his daily bread and more. At least that's what he thinks until he hurts his back, or loses a limb, or loses a job, or gets old that he can't work anymore. We talked about vocation, and Luther really had that one nailed, vocation. And it's the idea that the Christian serves God and his fellow man in his particular vocation, whatever that is, and God takes care of that Christian and provides for all of his needs. And when we pray this petition, we're reminded that it's God who gives us these things ultimately, and we thank him for them. What's meant by daily bread? Well, the basics, nothing fancy, no luxury items, just things that if we have them, we probably wouldn't need the luxury items or the fancy things. The fifth petition, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Once there was a man who liked to play the market. He got in too deep, the bubble burst, and the man was left owing to another man $100 million. And he was 70 years old, and he was broke and not in good health, no assets. And the man was very afraid because he knew that he would never, ever be able to pay back $100 million. All he could do was go to that other man and beg for mercy, and the man forgave his debt. That $100 million, you don't owe it anymore. And the man was happy. And he rejoiced greatly, until he ran into that guy who owed him $100. And he laid hands on that man and demanded that he pay back that $100 right now. And the man said that he would be glad to pay him back when he got the money, but that wasn't good enough. He wanted the $100 right now. And he called the cops and had the man arrested. What do you suppose the man to whom he had owed $100 million is going to think and do when he gets wind of that? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And the sixth petition, lead us not into temptation. What does this mean? First off, God is not the one who tempts people to sin. Satan, the world, and the flesh tempt people to sin. And here we ask our Heavenly Father for something that we really need. Help. Help to stave off the temptations of Satan and that unholy Trinity. And we ask him instead in the seventh petition to deliver us from evil. From every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation. And finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end. And graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. Indeed, we all know Satan tempts us to sin and to do evil. And how often is it that Satan tempts us to sin and do evil? Constantly. How often, therefore, should we pray for that help that we need? Luther says, therefore, there is just as much need in this case as in every other case to pray without ceasing. Thy will be done, dear Father, and not the will of the devil or of our enemies, not of those who would persecute and suppress thy holy word or prevent thy kingdom from coming. And grant that whatever we must suffer on its account, we may patiently bear and overcome, so that our poor flesh may not yield or fall away through weakness or indolence. Seven petitions. Requests made to one who has the responsibility and the authority to grant these very important requests, and who answers us every single time by telling us yes, no, maybe so. And finally, we pay honor and respect to the one who has such great power to give us the things that we need. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And then we say, yes, yes, and it shall be so. Or to use the Hebrew word, amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and we continue with number 934. My soul magnifies the Lord, 934.